Good morning, Kendall.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. So that dinner, South Hill at Moakley House?
Yes. You enjoyed it?
Whoa. It was so well paired.
Good.
It really blew my socks off.
You are listening to episode 196 of Cider Chat. Hello and welcome to Cider Chat. My name is Rhea Wincoller, and I am the producer and cider MC of this weekly podcast, where we speak with makers, cider enthusiasts, and folks within the cider trade from around the world. Coming into this here episode 196, you heard an audio snapshot with both Kendall Blizzard and myself as we were in the van heading out into all the amazing tastings and tours during the Finger Lakes Cider Week. Kendall happens to be the Agriculinary Tourism Marketing Coordinator at Ithaca Tompkins County Convention and Visitors Bureau. I consider it kind of like a chamber of commerce that you would have at most towns in the U.S. and I'm sure abroad. These are folks who are passionate about their region and really hoping to promote it, to invite folks like you, especially listeners of Cider Chat, to understand and to be encouraged to explore this region. So we're going to be delving deep into that, and I'll be sharing with you more audio snapshots to give you an overview of a magnificent week that I just had in the Finger Lakes of New York.
That's why they're called the Finger Lakes, because it looks kind of like a hand. But they were formed by glaciers. And so the glaciers did essentially flaw and erode the land. So they moved their way down. So you can tell how big the glaciers were by how big the lakes are. Cayuga is the longest, which is what Ithaca is on. But Seneca is the deepest, which is just west of us.
How long is Cayuga?
44 miles.
Wow.
There's something in the 40s there, but they're all beautiful drives. The Cayuga Wine Trail is on the Cayuga Scenic Byway, which is the road closest to the lake.
And that's the east side of the lake, right?
So it's all
around the whole lake. Okay.
Yep. There's a higher density on the west side of the lake.
Okay.
So between Cayuga and Seneca, which is where we are right now, is really well known for having a great terroir for winemaking, for cider making. You'll hear a bunch of the cider makers talk about it, but Jason Wilson, who's the author of The Cider Revival, actually just wrote a book and an article about this, about how between Cayuga and Seneca Lake is kind of the ideal place for high acidity cider making, and the terroir and the lands are super rich with the minerals. The agriculture is extremely big here, and then winemaking is what the Finger Lakes are most well known for, but cider is what they're starting to become as well known for.
That was Kendall Blizzard again of Visit Ithaca, telling us about the origins of the Finger Lakes, which is all attributed to glacial activity at the time of the Ice Age. Made a pretty amazing landscape and a climate, kind of like a microclimate for both cider and wine. This region is renowned for Riesling, specifically dry Riesling, and also now it's just up and coming. It's been coming for a long time. It's not like it's gone away. It's just getting a lot more focus and notoriety for the cider being made in this area. I rolled into this region on a Sunday night, which was September 29th. And on my way there, you might have seen some postings on social media. I had discovered an area on the side of the road just over the New York border from Massachusetts where I found a bevy of golden hornet crab apples. And so I marked that spot, hopefully to return to it on the flip side when I was heading back home to Massachusetts. And I'll give you a little hint. I did get there on my way home, but I'm going to save that for a little bit later. Anyways, I headed out to Ithaca, got into my sweet little B&B, the Coddington House, which was so nice, hanging out with Denise, and it overlooked Lake Cayuga. This is a magnificent landscape. In fact, I heard that the town of Aurora, about, maybe a 40-minute ride up from Ithaca, is one of the top destinations in the world to watch a sunset. So that's on the east side of Cayuga Lake, and it's supposed to be a pretty quaint little town. So anyways, there's just so much to see here, and I went gaga for it. I feel really privileged to be asked to come out there to do this tour with Visit Ithaca and to be sponsored by the cideries that I'll be posting on this here podcast coming up in both this episode and further episodes of Cider Chat. Suffice to say, this was a most amazing cider week, and I have to feel no doubt that I had a front seat view of it all. So I'm first going to bring you straight to my first evening there, where I arrived in the evening. It was dark out, and I was able to go to the South Hill Cider Tasting Room and Production Facility. This is brand new. Steve Seelan is the cider maker there, an owner, and he also happens to be a fiddle player in a band called Rose and the Bros. So let's head there next for a little bit of a taste treat of that first evening in the Cayuga Lake region, known as South Hill, just outside of Ithaca proper.
Greetings from South Hill Cider. Looking over Cayuga Lake, it's in the evening. I can't really see anything, but I do know that there's Zydeco music playing, and the cider maker here, Steve, is on the fiddle. There's folks dancing to the Zydeco music right now. Picnic tables and a bonfire, and what I could see through the darkness here is the apple orchard. It looks like high trees. I'm going to move away a little bit from the music so I get a little bit more personal with you. Maybe walk up there. High fencing probably because there are deer here, and they have to protect from deer, obviously. Even at night, I could see that this is a pretty open landscape, and that's what this region of the Finger Lakes is all about. I think the glaciers came down here and just made this like beautiful, smooth, sloping landscape with deep gorges, waterfalls, an exquisite spot in Ciderville, no doubt.
What a great way to enter into this region by going to a Zydeco stomp at South Hill Cider. Another thing I'd like to share with you about this particular region is more about the waterfalls. Because when I go into an area, it's one part cider, certainly. I want to taste it. I want to kick back a good cider and just savor that moment and speak to the makers. But I also really want to find out what informs everybody. Why is it that people are settling here? I mean, this area has two colleges. One is Ithaca College, and the other one is Cornell University. And boy, that is kind of like a perfect setup in the town of Ithaca to have a very lively scene, a very informed public, and a nice place to live. So I asked folks around, like, well, how many waterfalls are there? And I found within 10 miles of Ithaca, there are 150 waterfalls. Now, waterfalls are, well, we all know what a waterfall is, but do you know what a gorge is? It's a big, deep cut into the landscape there. Big part is all rock. So you have these steep cliffs and then water cascading over and making each waterfall really, really unique. And there's one waterfall in particular that is quite a showcase. It's called Taconic. It is evidently 150 feet, I believe, higher than Niagara Falls, which was a little hard for me to believe. Now, mind you, it doesn't have the width of Niagara, but it was pretty darn stunning. It reminded me a bit of Yosemite Falls out in California, that kind of nice ribbon as it was pouring the day I was there. But I think the story best can be told by Beth at the Visitor Center at Taconic Falls when she took a moment to speak with Kendall and I about her work there and the visitors to this region of the Finger Lakes in New York State.
It's Beth Duff, D-U-F-F. I am a visitor experience specialist. This is the Tagannock Falls Overlook Visitor Center, which is one of three that the Ithaca Tompkins Convention and Visitors Bureau maintains. This location is actually open May through October, in part because there's no heat in the building. And those are our busiest times of year. And so primarily we get people, who come here to view the falls. I always advise people to come here first if they're coming to Tagannock Falls State Park, because they get the big picture of the falls. And then if they decide they'd like to get closer, we can give them directions on how to get down to the base of the falls. We also can give them directions to the upper falls, the lower falls. And then a lot of our time is also spent giving people directions to different places in the area, wineries, breweries.
And cideries.
And cideries, absolutely, yep. I directed a couple people up to the one up the road here.
Bellwether and Finger Lake Cider House.
Finger Lake Cider House, that was it.
Yeah.
And people are asking more about cideries. They're interested in it, especially if they've done wineries before. Or breweries.
Yeah.
It's something different for them to try.
Exactly. Yeah. It's the newest kid on the block in some ways, but not.
Yeah.
The oldest kid on the block.
Right. Well, I was just down at the Monks and Makers tasting yesterday. Down on the Commons. And it was really interesting because there's such a variety of ciders out there. And again, similar to wines, they go everywhere from dry to sweet. And a lot of time, I was having a discussion with one of the cidery owners, and he was saying, a lot of people think that, he was comparing it to Riesling, and people think that all the ciders are sweet. And I said, I used to work at a winery, and people would come in and say, oh, no, I don't want Riesling, that's sweet. And it's like, not so much, not anymore anywhere.
Right.
So the variety was really nice at the tasting, and I think when people go, to the cideries and have their tastings around there, they'll find that out too.
Absolutely,
absolutely.
Cool.
Yeah.
How long has this building been here?
This has been here since 2016.
Oh, it's a new building. So
yes.
Right, and so it's probably everything's all accessible.
Yes, totally accessible, and we also like to remind people that the Gorge Trail here at Tagannock Falls State Park is flat, three-quarters of a mile each way, accessible. We often get people who come in here and they say, well, we're traveling with someone who has mobility problems or, could be in a wheelchair or, what falls can we take them to? So I say, well, you come to the right place because the overlook here, you're going to get the probably best view, maybe the second best view, because the best might be down at the base of the falls when you're looking up.
Mm.
But, you can go right over to the overlook. At the railing, you can see what you need to see. And then if you decide that you want to get in closer, you can go on the Gorge Trail. It is wide, it is flat, it is relatively level, it is stroller accessible.
Wonderful.
So, it gets people right down there
cool.
and they can enjoy it.
Great. Well, awesome. Oh, and I see you have a little flyer
up
there for Cider
Week. Up. Oh, yeah. Yes.
Fantastic.
And I did have a visitor ask me today, so what is this and what's going on? So I gave him the overview, and I said, but visit the website because they lay everything out there in great detail.
Absolutely.
Wonderful.
Good job that you're doing around here. You folks really make people feel welcome to your spot of paradise here.
Yes.
Really, really amazing.
Well, thank you. And I think we learn as much from our visitors sometimes as they learn from us. So.
Yeah. Well, that's another reason why you make people feel so darn welcome.
Well, we do try to go the extra distance to make sure that we answer their questions and we, get them where they want to go. And that's a very satisfying part of the job.
Fantastic. Yeah. Thank you for doing the work that you do.
You're welcome. Yeah.
Tagannock Falls is on the west side of Lake Cayuga, just a short drive from Ithaca proper. And the roads around there, I really want to emphasize how lovely they are. They're nicely maintained, they're not bumpy rides, and they are loping along. So it's kind of like you're just dreamily going along on the road. It's just a nice ride. I mean, you know that saying, enjoy the ride? You're going to enjoy it around there, no doubt. And the other thing about this particular location in State Park is that there is a state park part of this right on the water. So you could be right on Cayuga Lake. There's a fantastic playground there. So if you have young kids that are traveling in your party, that's a nice place to hang. They also rent kayaks there. Across the street is Taconic Inn. It's not part of the state park, but it's a renovated inn. So that's a spectacular place to stay. And then Taconic Falls, as Beth Duff was saying at the visitor center, is a 3/4 mile, very accessible hike. And to go down, I did not go down to the base of Taconic Falls, but from what I heard, it is breathtaking to be down there. So that's for my next trip back to drink some cider and hike up Taconic Falls. Next up, we're going to go to a goat farm, because what better to have with cider than goat cheese?
I'm Suzanne Mesmer. I'm one of the owners of Lively Run Goat Dairy in Interlaken, New York. And thanks for coming to us. Not chalky, not too goaty. Some tang, but not the goatiness that you find in some.
It goes so well with cider.
It does.
I mean, yep. Let's face it. Cheese and cider. It's like a match made in heaven.
I find cheese and cider and cheese and beer better than cheese and wine. And I shouldn't be saying that in a wine area, but this is a cider area, so I think I'm okay.
I think you're okay. I mean, you know, and some people will disagree, and that's fine.
I think
because, well, you are in an area where you have the Riesling, and you're going for the really dry Riesling, so it's going to have a certain kind of cut. But let's face it, apple pie, warm apple pie with a slice of cheese on top is like your, you know, talk about all Americana type of style of eating.
Yeah.
And then having an apple, a fresh apple with a slice of cheese is just blows your mind. So then you have it with actually fermented apple juice cider. Yeah. Oh my God.
Nothing wrong there.
With every journey that I do out and about in Ciderville, there is always moments that really stand out in time. And this particular visit with Suzanne in the goat barn really made me pause. One is, I didn't realize how quiet a goat barn is. You'll hear a little bit of the neighing in the background of the goats. But more or less, the entire scene was chill. In fact, Suzanne says that students at the local universities and colleges might come there on site and want to just hang out before exams to get in the zone. So there is a goat zone, and there's always something to learn there. I really enjoyed the space, and I enjoyed this particular chat that you're going to hear next. That wasn't about cheese, it wasn't about cider, but it was about people and a moment in time in history that I am very privileged to share with you. So again, this is at the Lively Run Goat Dairy and a meeting with Suzanne Mesmer.
The perfect surrounding for them would be a woodland on a mountainside. That's perfect. They can climb.
Yeah.
They can eat leaves from
they want to climb
bark and all that stuff.
No doubt.
So the open pasture is actually less than ideal.
It's more like for sheep.
It's for sheep and cows.
Yeah. Well, at least they have a beautiful home, you know. I mean, you do the best you can. You know, what I really notice in this barn is very calm.
Yeah.
It's not like coming into some barns where there's a lot of
action.
Yeah. And of course, there's smaller animals than cows. And it's not that cows aren't quiet too, but there's more boom, 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 because they have their head, they're contained in a barn, typically, right?
Yeah.
But here they're kind of moving around and they're just really just kind of
really
living the good life. It's a very relaxed scene.
Yeah.
Now you do have goat yoga.
We did goat yoga 3 times this year, yeah.
Yeah. What else do you do here?
We do the 2 o'clock tour every day. Do a bottle feeding program starting when we have kids.
Mm-hmm.
This year we started in May all the way through July. We did every day at 1 o'clock. You could purchase a bottle and feed a baby goat.
Oh, well, who doesn't want to have that experience at least once in their life, if not 2 or 3 times, if you're not doing that professionally?
So that was pretty cute. People really liked that. And then, we do the tastings of the cheese all day long, every day.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a also a...
Hi there. You hear us and you're crawling out from under there?
So yeah, we also do a Meet the Cheesemaker tour.
Mm-hmm. And you are the cheesemaker.
I'm not the cheesemaker.
Oh, you're not the cheesemaker.
No,
okay.
Not anymore.
Ah, but you were.
I was, and my son took over from me 3 years ago. So he's the head cheesemaker. Actually, it's almost 4 years ago now. Mm. And he developed all those cheeses, the hard cheeses, the blue cheese, all that, all the awards and all that stuff. That's
yeah,
all been.
This is quite
a
celebration.
He had a pretty, I have to say, he had a pretty good foundation. But he really built on it. So,
well, that's what you would want to have happen, right?
Yeah.
So,
that Meet the Cheesemaker tour, I think we have one on October 12th, I want to say, but I can't remember now.
Mm-hmm.
To look that up on my calendar. That's the only time that you can actually go into the cheese room and see the all the equipment, all the stuff, and he will bring you right into the aging room.
Mm.
And show you and have you taste a flight, because it's just
cheese.
1 month old. Mm. This is 6 months
oh, that's
old.
Brilliant.
This is a
yeah.
year old, and you see, holy cow, holy goat, how does that develop? You know,
goat.
So that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So it's a very in-depth tour. Yeah.
Are you originally from New York, this area? Am I detecting an accent?
Yes.
And where would that be from?
Germany.
Yeah.
Not known for its cheese.
But how about apple wine?
Hmm?
Apple wine.
Around Frankfurt, yes.
Yeah, so, yeah. And can you say that for me? Because I'm, like, screwing it up with the accent.
That depends on whether
apple
you...
Apple wine? Was it
Apfelwein.
Apfelwein,
but
yeah.
The Frankfurt people would say Appleboy.
Voy. Yeah, with a V,
it's
yes.
It's the dialect there.
Yeah.
So yeah, where I grew up, it's all wine, like here, lots of Riesling and things like that.
But people can bring a bottle with them here
onto
the property and get some cheese and enjoy the beautiful farm that you have here.
Yeah, they can sit out.
Which is
We're
fantastic.
Hoping to have a couple more picnic tables out next year. This year was a bit skimpy. I used the picnic tables for goat exercises.
Oh, there
we
you
did
go.
With the 2 o'clock too. We also did what I call the running with the goats.
Oh my God!
So
you are
too
cute. I love
we
you.
We took the goats out on the front lawn and ran around with them, which is hilarious.
Oh, it must be
totally hilarious. It's like running with the bulls, but safe.
Yeah. You know, I don't know why they did. What were they thinking, running with the bulls? They should have done running with the goats. Yeah.
So anyways, my picnic table pretty much got finished doing that
of
because
course,
the goats
yeah.
use it as their climbing toy.
Well, it's a good reason to have a couple lounge chairs
ones.
In your car and bring them with you.
Yes, that
have
too.
Seats will travel is a good way to go also.
Yep. Yeah, bring your own beverage is always encouraged.
Fantastic.
Always mm-hmm.
Open how many days a week?
We are open from May 1st to October 31st every day, Monday through Sunday.
You're busy.
The hours may change next year a little bit. We're not entirely sure on that yet, so you have to check on our website for that. And we do the tours almost every day. It also may change a little bit next year. That depends on deliveries and how many trucks come in here.
A lot of trucks coming in for...
On Tuesdays, tons of distributors.
Or
yeah,
milk?
Picking up.
So you're not selling
cheese.
Your milk out. Can people purchase goat milk here?
No. We don't have a milk license.
Okay, so you're using all the milk for your cheese. On property, and that business must be growing.
Yeah, it's...
Fantastic.
Taken off. Look at that little one.
Yeah, coming out of the little feeding area.
Okay, there we go. You're so big.
How did you get involved in goats?
So my husband is from here, from Interlaken. I'm from Germany.
Where did the two of you meet?
We met in Germany when he was in the military service, and we had East and West in the 80s.
Wow.
He was patrolling that border.
And you were on the East or the West?
I was on the West side.
The West side.
And,
he didn't
college.
Have to, like, bring you over from the east side.
No. We wouldn't have met that way.
Yeah.
Very unlikely to have met that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was studying in a town called Fulda, which was very close to the border. And there was a big American concern there, a big post, and lots of outposts along the border, which he was patrolling. And we actually met in a church. We were inviting people to see a movie or something in the streets, and he said, "Oh, I don't want to go on another thing on post. I want to get to know Germans." So he came to the church. I started translating for him, and that's how that happened.
Wow.
Then...
How long a courtship was that before?
2 years.
2 years. So he was in Germany, on station in Germany for 2 years.
For longer. Yeah, 8 years.
Eight years. When did you leave Germany?
We left Germany in 91.
91. So you were there when the wall went down?
Yes.
Where were you on that day?
I was at...
I mean, it was over a course of a couple days, but...
Yeah, I was in our home in Fulda, near Fulda. And the next day we had, I don't know how many thousands of little East German cars in town. The little Trabants, which were...
You would never have seen.
Yeah. And they were parked everywhere in where you were not supposed to park. And the policemen were putting bananas under their windshield rather than...
Oh, my God. That rather than tears to my eyes.
Rather than a ticket.
Bananas. Why like, bananas? Bananas in Germany? Who knew? But that's so cute.
No, just because... Wow. I don't know. Bananas was a thing.
Bananas for peace.
That.
I love
bananas
it.
Bananas for peace, something like
Holy
that.
Holy cazole. I never heard that story.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was really interesting.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. And then my husband and I actually went to the fence and we cut a piece of fence out.
Oh. Bigger than a meteor in some ways, in terms of a testament to taking down a wall.
It was, it was powerful.
Yeah,
it
no
was
doubt.
Powerful.
I arrived at Lively Run Goat Dairy to meet with Suzanne Messmer and her son Pete, who is a cheesemaker, to talk about the services they offer, the goats and the cheese. Little did I know that soon we'd be talking about that moment in time on November 9th, 1991, when the Berlin Wall began to fall. I don't know why I don't remember bananas on that day, or even Susan, who was there. But I do know now that they did represent victory. Victory from oppression. Because think about it. You have one side, the West Berliners, and the East Berliners. On the West, they had abundance that was just so unattainable for people in the oppressive state of East Berlin. So it really changed the whole world upside down. To be able to take that wall down and to start having something that symbolized abundance, and that was a banana. If you had asked me before I went to the Finger Lakes, where are you going to a goat barn, other than to talk about cheese? I wouldn't have really had any answer other than, yeah, we're going to be talking about cheese and how it pairs so well with cider.
But now, I know, it's all about the Goat Barn. I mean, shoot, if you had seen the Berlin Wall coming down and to seen all that had taken place before and then after, wouldn't you want to find a spot out in the world that was absolutely peaceful and loving? I know I would. And I know that when I return to the Finger Lakes in that region, one of the spots I will definitely be going to is the Lively Run Goat Dairy once again, to have a little bit of that moment of goat zen. There is a certain serenity there, and it also echoes into the cheeses that they make. I want to really recommend, if you can, to make it to the Lively Run Goat Dairy, and to maybe take a tour with the cheesemaker himself, Pete Messmer. They don't always run it all the time, but you can find out more information on their website, and there'll be a link to all these conversations and more in the show notes to this year episode 195. Well, you were probably thinking that the Finger Lakes Cider Week, geez, Rhea's out there and she's just having fun 100% of the time, kicking back cider, having cider and food pairings, and you'd be right. And of course, bringing you stories like these from the Goat Barn. Oh, man. Well, hey, a big tip of the glass to visit Ithaca. And I want to just give you the background story of how I got there, because they reached out to me. And thanks to all the folks on Facebook, I haven't given a big howdy-do to all the folks who have recently joined the Cider Chat Facebook page. You are amazing. I mean, it just blows me away, the people from around the world that are tapping in there. So that inspires me. And it was Kendall Blizzard who kind of reached out on Facebook looking for recommendations about a podcast. And you all recommended Cider Chat, so thank you so much. And they, in turn, were in the process after having received a grant. Now, once again, Visit Ithaca is kind of like their short name, but the full name is the Ithaca-Tompkins County Convention and Visitor Bureau. And that really led the charge here to help promote cider in the region, which is what they do. They promote all the products there. And I thought, if you are in a certain region of the world and you think, how can we get the word out? This is kind of a tapstone for you. I worked with Heather Hughes and Kendall Blizzard, and they were fantastic. They set up an itinerary, were able to set out a plan, but they had done a lot of groundwork in the beginning, securing a grant, reaching out to cider makers. They made up their own marketing strategy and were able to really showcase, and are continuing to showcase, what that region of the Finger Lakes in upstate New York has to offer. So bravo to them. Super passionate about where they live, and everything is about moving it in the forefront, moving it in the forefront. Shoot, I wish that every region of cider in the world would have that level of passion that these two women really showed to me. It was just a fantastic week. I just had one of the most glorious itineraries ever. Again, thank you to those folks and to all the sponsors, the cider maker sponsors who helped bring Cider Chat, me, out there for this recording. Next up, we're going to go to our final audio snapshot for this segment of our Cider Week in the Finger Lakes episode. And it's going to be with Deborah Cooper, who's at the Mann Library at Cornell University. And she's going to be sharing to you resources that you could get online.
Hello, this is Deborah Cooper. I'm the Digital and Special Collections Librarian at Mann Library at Cornell University. We're located in Ithaca, New York. At Mann Library, which supports the College of Agriculture and Life Sciences and the College of Human Ecology, our digital collections include our institutional repository called eCommons, but more excitingly, we also have digitized many collections that are historical works such as the Core Historical Literature of Agriculture, known as CHLA, The Hive and the Honeybee, and
The Hive and the Honeybee,
which is our Phillips beekeeping collection, one of the largest, if not the largest, historical works on beekeeping, the history of beekeeping in this country. And we have many works digitized from that collection. We also have another collection called Hearth, which is more to do with the College of Human Ecology and the subjects that they cover, such as home economics, design, textiles, that kind of thing. And we also have a collaboration with the Biodiversity Heritage Library, and we digitize many of our rare works, and they go into that library, so they're accessible for anyone, anywhere. And so my digital work really parallels nicely with the special collections work. Special collections just means rare works. We mostly have published volumes rather than an archive, which also has artifacts and papers. And we have a really robust special collections, and we cover things like the Phillips Beekeeping Collection. We also have extensive works in pomology and cider and viticulture in general. We also have a poultry collection. We also have a horticulture collection and some oddities like a rare lace collection.
Wow.
And a few other things. Oh, we also have collections relating to notable Cornell life scientists such as Anna Bosford Comstock and her husband John Comstock, and Liberty High Bailey and people such as those.
Fantastic. Well, let's hit on the pomology topic there. Can you tell us a little bit what folks might be able to find in your collections?
Fortunately, because of a collaboration that we have with Dr. Gregory Peck in the horticulture department, we have in the last couple of years created some wonderful collections that are now accessible, whereas before they were not as easily discoverable. So a couple of ways we've done this is with our collaboration with the Biodiversity Heritage Library, we have a featured collection. It's called Pomology, Apples and Cider. And in that collection, they have sections on apples, cider, orchard management, and seed and nursery catalogs. And this is all online. And we have, I'd just like to highlight a couple of things in that collection. One of the items from our special collections that we digitized for that is called the Herefordshire Pomona, which is from 1876. And it was described as the ultimate coffee table book for upper class households because it documents the presence of over 400 apple and pear varieties in 19th century England. And it's considered a classic in the science and practice of pomology. So as pomologists now try to develop new varieties to support sustainable apple and cider production, this kind of historic work, such as the Herefordshire Pomona, provides important information about old cultivars that maybe could hold promise for modern use as well. So that's just one of the items in the collection, which I should say we have over about 24 volumes that we digitized for this particular collection. And one other item of note that people might be interested to hear about are a set of paintings by the Russian scientist and geneticist Vavilov. So this is a set of paintings of wild apples and wild pears. They were collected by Russian botanists from around 1930. We're not sure the exact date. These paintings were sitting in a library in Geneva, New York, about an hour from Ithaca, and that library was closing in 2016. So they were just in a box, and they were headed for a dumpster. And it's just pure luck that they were grabbed by a librarian who was helping to sort things out as the library closed and brought it to Man Library. Didn't know what was in there, just kind of grabbed the box and brought it. And it turned out to be this set of paintings. And in the box was a note. And the note read, presented to Professor Richard Wellington of New York State Agricultural Experiment Station in 1932 by Nikolai Vavilov at the time of the International Genetics Congress in Ithaca, New York. He said they would never be published in Russia, and he was arrested in 1940 and died a few years later in a Siberian village. So there's a big story there, which we don't have time to go into all of it, but we do know that Vavilov died as a result of Stalinist purges. And much later in modern times, he's now revered as a hero for his work in genetics. And there is actually a Vavilov Institute in Moscow that carries out agricultural scientific research. So we may have the only copy in here at Man Library of Vavilov's paintings, and we are trying to actually contact the Vavilov Institute and find out if they even know that we have these. But it's a wonderful work, and you can see that on the Biodiversity Heritage Library's website in our digitized collection.
That's fantastic. Wow. Yeah. Could you tell us anything else that we might want to know about your exhibits online?
Yep. So you can also see highlights from an exhibit we did here at Man Library in 2016 called Apples to Cider, An Old Industry Takes Root, by going to exhibits.library.cornell.edu/cider. And this is kind of the result of our collaboration with Dr. Gregory Peck, where we had an exhibit in the lobby of the library, which featured some of the wonderful illustrations from our historical works in pomology. And you'll find all kinds of information, not just about those, but about the modern day cider and apple industry here in the Finger Lakes, and also some of the research that Dr. Peck has been doing. And it's all there in that one digital exhibit. So I highly recommend that. And another source of in-depth information, if you're more interested in the historical side of some of our work, is the Man Library Tumblr page. And that's manlibrary.tumblr.com. And just search Pomona, for example, and it will bring up a lot of information about, for example, the Herefordshire Pomona, and also a couple of other works that we featured there. And I also want to say that if you're ever in the region, our special collections are available for anyone to come and visit physically. You do need to make an appointment. We're a very small staff, and we like to have 24 hours notice if possible. But if you're just visiting, we'll try to accommodate you. And you just go to the Man Library website and follow the links to special collections where you register and all of that good stuff, and we'd be very happy to show you any of our works in our collection.
And in that collection, would it be these like paintings that people would be able to see?
Yes, we have those. We have the Vavilov paintings, we have the Pomona, we have many other historical works. Overall, between here and the other library at Cornell, the Rare Manuscript Collection, we have over 600 rare works related to pomology and cider. And here at Man Library, we have about 37 of those. So there is quite a bit to keep people interested.
Can I bring my sleeping bag here?
Yeah. And sleep out by here? Absolutely.
All right.
We'd love to see you here.
Thank you so much, Deborah. Your work is invaluable, and I really appreciate all the work that's being done here for helping preserve these amazing works of study and art.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
I found that chat with Deborah really fascinating, and what a bevy of resources, all online. All the guests on this week's episode 196, you will be able to find links to them and certainly the digitized works at the Man Library at Cornell University. Coming up next, an email from a patron of Cider Chat.
Oh, yes.
Yes, we do.
We like cider. We like palms. We like orchards.
And having fun. There is a reason.
There is a reason why we do it like this. There is a reason why we do it like this.
Oh, no, no.
There is a reason why we drink it like this.
So yes, there is.
There is a reason.
This email comes in from Ohio, and the writer is Matt. And I often ask new patrons to Cider Chat, well, how did they hear about the podcast? And he says that he just typed in Cider to the podcast search on his iPhone a while ago and has been listening ever since. He's been meaning to get on this Patreon thing for a while because he so values all the information he's gotten from the podcast over the years, and I want to keep it going. Well, Matt, that's so awesome of you, and as you can see, it's getting kind of busy out there, so I'm trying to keep it going too. Really appreciate you and all the patrons' support. He continues with, I'm on the heritage and orchard-based end of the spectrum and have a small orchard of about 150 American heirloom and European bittersweet apples and a few peri pears, which are generally a challenge to grow in Northeast Ohio. That difficulty has pushed me to discover all of the unmanaged and wild seedling apples growing everywhere here. And that's a whole other fun rabbit hole I'm going down now. I hope to someday have a micro cidery here with limited distribution to a few local restaurants. Or maybe I'll just be a crazy dude in the cellar, surrounded by barrels, listening to smooth jazz that the neighbor's kids don't know what to do with. I'd be fine with that too. I like your attitude, Matt. But anyways, I feel like if they can do it in Ontario, upstate New York, Virginia, and Michigan, why not here? So the podcast has been a real link to the broader world of cider that I wouldn't have otherwise, and I feel cider fluent, informed, and inspired by the guest you have on. I really enjoyed the conversations regarding barrel aging, lees, fermentation, and technical stuff, but also love the walks through the orchard. I think you do a great job with the balance of technical and personal. So keep on keeping on. I would imagine there are lots of people like me out there. Matt. Matt, you are so right. There are lots of folks like you out there in Ciderville, and we are all the better for it. Thank you so much for writing that, and I love that idea. I often feel that same way. People don't understand me. Cranking the music and drinking cider. Oh, it's a good life, though, isn't it? And you know what? When Matt's email came in, no sooner that happened, I heard from another new patron. In this case, it's up in Ontario, Prince Edward County, to be exact. And this is from Sarah from Settlers Cider Company. I remember meeting Sarah and her husband back when I was on my tour to Ontario with Ryan Monkman. And she just became a patron of Cider Chat. And she writes, I thought I should sign up for Patreon since I've been listening to your podcast all the time. And she continues with, we are busy planning our 2019 harvest and pressing. We are getting our first small harvest from our own trees. Yippee! And wow, that's great to hear from you, Sarah. While I was in the Finger Lakes, somebody did come down from Prince Edward County, and that would be the dude himself, Ryan Monkman of Field Bird Cider. Yes, I got to hang out with Ryan Monkman. I so adore him. He just, oh, he really inspires me. And of course, I got to ask him lots of questions because I just emptied out my oak barrel. And he also happened to give me a bottle of Perry. And if you've been a regular listener of Cider Chat, you might recall that there is a barrel named Rhea at the Fieldbird Cider House that had Perry in it. So I haven't opened that bottle yet, Ryan. I'm going to be saving it because this podcast goes live on Wednesday, and on October 10th, that is my birthday, and I'm opening that bottle of Perry that day and saluting to you and all the good folks out there in Ciderville. Wow. So cool stuff. Thanks, Matt. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, Visit Ithaca. Thank you, everybody, for making it such a full cup. Yeah. If you get value from this podcast, well, you might want to take a little cue from these good folks and join the Cider Chat Patreon page, because if everybody gives a little bit, it's going to make it a big bit to help me keep this podcast keeping up. And you can find the Patreon page by just Googling Cider Chat Patreon. It's spelled P-A-T-R-E-O-N.
There is a reason why we do it like this, ba-dum, ba-dum.
Yes, I should let you know that that's my cousin Jay and myself singing our favorite song, We Like Cider, and you could hear the full version at the end of this here, episode 196, if you so please to wait till the end. Oh, there's so much going on, folks. I can't even believe it. This is a busy time indeed, and if I was with my friends in London at Duck Chicken Cider, Colleen and James and I would all be singing, chop, 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 it's a pressing time. Chop, 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 it's a pressing time. I'm going to be coming up with a version of that for next year, probably. Because I'm really busy. I want to get back to that, like, Golden Hornet crab apples when I was first on my way to the Finger Lakes Cider Week last week. Well, I did stop on the way home. And I got there a little bit before it was getting dark, so I had about 2 hours of picking. And I have all these beautiful Golden Hornet crab apples waiting to go into my press. And I just pulled out the press, a big, giant press from the 1880s. It's actually going to be on display during Franklin County Cider Day, so you'll get to see my cider press. How cool is that? Anyways, I got to go get that done. So I need to start rolling out of here, but I can't do that without first reminding you that there is time to sign up for the second annual New England Cider Tour on October 31st. That's the day before Franklin County Cider Days takes place. And you should know about that event. It's like the largest and oldest cider fest in the country and many parts of the world, too. So I am leading, for the second year in a row, a cider tour going to New Hampshire and Vermont. And you are so welcome to come along. You just need to send me a little email, ria@ciderchat.com. It's spelled R-I-A at ciderchat.com. Go to the Totally Cider page at ciderchat.com to get more info. If you have to be enticed more, we have a nice group of people, but there's room for a couple more. And we're getting down to the end of the line here, folks. And, you know, if you want to meet some cool people, not have to worry about driving and drinking, which is an important thing because I've learned over the years, cider is a creeper buzz. You got to be very careful. And just have a magnificent lunch feast at Fable Farm Fermentory in Vermont. Hang out with six makers during the day. And we're going to Farnham Hill, Fable Farm Fermentory, and Silo Distillery and Hard Cider. It's a perfect trifecta of places to stop at. It's going to be fun. So get the info at ciderchat.com, Totally Cider page. All will be good. Sign up now. And with that, I'm going to roll out of here. So without further ado, for now, this is Real Wind Caller, hoping to see you soon in Ciderville.
Oh, yeah.
You like the sun.
some fun. Yeehaw!